Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
If you listen to this show, you know that I call myself a whole foodatarian. If it's a whole food, I'm going to eat it. Okay, so I talk about this on this show, on Naturally Savvy, on It's Your Health, but I think I'm going to call myself something else now. I just discovered a really cool term, a reducitarian. I hope I'm saying it right. And we've got the wonderful Brian Kateman. He edited the book, The Reducitarian Solution, How the Surprisingly Simple Act of Reducing the Amount of Meat in Your Diet Can Transform Your Health and the Planet. Brian, welcome to Talk Healthy Today.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
So As I mentioned, I think of myself as a whole foodatarian. And being a whole foodatarian, that means, you know, I'm going to eat fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and I do eat grass-fed organic meat. Now, I try not to eat a ton, but I do really like it, and I feel good when I eat it. But I think that you are on the right track, because what we need to do is, if we're not going to give it up entirely, which a lot of people don't want to, for a myriad of reasons, then we need to reduce it. So talk to us about this. How did you come to this way of thinking? And am I saying it right, the reducitarian?
Yeah, you are saying it right. Well, yeah, you're absolutely correct. A reducitarian is someone who is interested in reducing the amount of animal products that they consume. And this can be as simple as participating in something in Meat Life Monday, where you abstain from eating meat on Monday, or it can be all the way on the other end to veganism. For me, this started with an interest in college. I always cared about the planet and environmental issues. I was that guy who was telling people that they should take shorter showers and they should carry around a refillable cup of water, and all of the things some of us do in our everyday lives to improve the planet. But it wasn't until later that I realized that animal agriculture really is responsible for a lot of issues, and not only environmental issues like biodiversity loss and climate change, but also poor health, you know, increasing the risk of heart disease and cancer and diabetes, and of course the suffering of billions of farmed animals on factory farms. So when I found that out, I said, you know what, I want to be a vegetarian. I want to align my values with some of my dietary choices. Problem was, I wasn't perfect about it. There were times where, for example, I remember one Thanksgiving, being with my family, being with turkey on the table, and I decided to have a piece of turkey in that moment. And I remember, as siblings often do, my sister sort of calling me out across the table, saying, like, I thought you were a vegetarian, Brian. And I tried to explain in that moment that it's really not about being perfect. It's about eating as many plant-based meals as possible, because generally those plant-based meals are going to be healthier, more environmentally friendly and compassionate, particularly because 99% of meat comes from factory farms. It doesn't come from these small local farms that we might like to imagine. And so I came home and said, you know what, I don't want to be called a lazy vegetarian or cheating vegetarian anymore. I want to find a word that describes who I am. And words like flexitarian and semi-vegetarian and mostly vegetarian, they do a great job of describing people, I think, like me, who have primarily reduced the amount of animal products they consume. But the average American eats well over 200 pounds of meat a year. And I think we need a term for them to encourage them to reduce the amount of animal products in their diet, even if they're not interested in becoming a vegetarian or vegan or flexitarian or some other words like that. And so ever since then, I've been on this mission to try and spread that message that meat consumption is an all-or-nothing premise, and that it's typically pretty good for the planet and for animals and certainly for your health if you incorporate more plant-based meals into your lifestyle.
You know, I think the idea is so right on, because I think if you try to get somebody to give up everything and they feel like they're taking everything away, don't take my meat away. But you're like, hey, look, I just want you to reduce it. Can you try this? And here's some recipes. And why don't you do this instead? And here are some of the harmful effects on the planet. I mean, holy crap. I have to say, I don't know if I'm allowed to say crap, but I just did. I just said it twice. Because, I mean, some of these statistics, I mean, every minute the land equivalent of seven football fields is cleared to make room for animal agriculture. American animals raised for meat consume over 30 million pounds of antibiotics each year. Producing 1 pound of beef requires over 1,800 gallons of water. Do you think sometimes when these statistics are just so mind-blowing, they don't fully get absorbed because you're like, what? And I think that happens, right? We get sort of callous.
I do think that happens. You know, the impact of factory farming is so broad and widespread that I think it can make us feel kind of helpless, particularly as we throw some of these facts around. But, you know, certain messages speak to different people. And so I know a lot of younger people who are particularly excited to tackle this issue from a climate change perspective or from an animal rights perspective. Mm-hmm. But I know my parents, you know, growing up in Staten Island, and we went out to eat, we went to Chili's and had hamburgers, and we went to Applebee's and had buffalo wings. We weren't eating at blanky plant-based restaurants. And so when I speak to them, I say, you know, hey, Dad, I really want you to be around. And, you know, maybe it might be helpful if you, you know, lost a few pounds or if you worked on your diabetes issue, maybe eating more plant-based meals would help with that. And so I think just making it as personal and simple as possible is the way to go in trying to communicate some of the benefits of eating less meat.
I think so too. Now, I know that you've taken some flack from some vegans. I don't know names, obviously, but just when I was researching you and reading the book and looking around, and I just feel like, you know what? Not everyone's going to be perfect. And it's a continuum. And I think that, like, again, the less we eat, the better. The less meat we eat, the better. But I think to expect perfection or to sort of look down on what some people like you are doing because you're not a vegan, that ruffles my feathers for sure. I'd love to hear your take on that.
But I'm glad you raised that point. You know, the thing is, there are so many vegans and vegetarians and animal rights activists who are super excited about vegetarianism and see the value of it in terms of making the world a kinder place. And in fact, many of the essays in the book are written by vegans and animal rights activists. Yeah. Of course, there are environmentalists and human health experts and many others who are not vegan or vegetarian and agree with the idea that eating less meat is a good idea. But yes, whenever someone takes a moderate approach, I think you're run the risk of receiving flack on both sides. So I know factory farming companies are quite scared of us, and I think they should be because, you know, it's going to maybe be challenging to get a lot of people to go vegan. But if all of us do our part and reduce the amount of animal products that we consume, I think we could be a real threat to undermining factory farms, which is something we can all get behind. And sure, at the same time...
Oh, that would be great.
Oh, of course. It would be amazing and very difficult, but something that we should strive for. Of course, on the other side, you know, vegans and animal rights activists, you know, they're upset because 70 billion land animals worldwide are slaughtered every day in unbelievably cruel conditions. And so I'm sympathetic to their qualms. But at the end of the day, you know, progress is very incremental. And the only way we're going to get there is if we work together and we allow people to discover there for themselves rather than, I don't know, being preachy or judgmental or something like that. So that was really important to me in terms of the book, is making sure that the essays and the tone of the book, it's very inviting. It's meant to be educational. There's no pressure or judgment. This is just an opportunity for someone who's curious to learn more about these very important issues as they relate to the planet and our health and the lives of animals and many other issues.
Well, I'm glad you just mentioned that about the vegans in terms of there is a lot to be upset about. And I didn't want to come off as callous or uncaring. I just think we're all on our own journey and we need to do things that we can do on our own time. And if you get too much pressure and you rebel, then that's going to be worse for everybody. You know, the essays are great. One is by Tara Wellington. I've had her on my other show, It's Your Health, numerous times. I love that she has simple strategies for success. Start with Mondays. So talking about meatless Mondays, focus on delicious meals. I love this. Instead of pointing out what's missing, the meat at the dinner table, center food conversation around exciting new recipes. Realize that there is a taste shift. Sample well-prepared meatless meals. Increase your fruits and veggies. So I think what's so great about the book is you have stuff about the factory farms and some, I know there was a guy too who wrote about some of the films and what's that, you know, it's like show what's going on and looking at, you know, Josh Bogg talks about the future of food. And I'd like Tara's, especially I think as a health educator, I want to give people tools where they can make the change. And I think it's so great that you have such a great mix in there.
Yeah, that was really important to me. And I thought Tara's essay was wonderful too. You know, we want to educate people, but we also want to equip them with tools to actually make these transitions, in part because it's quite challenging. I mean, you know, meat is ingrained in our culture. Most people don't choose foods based on ethics or environmental issues, but on factors like price, on taste and convenience. And so there's all these sort of systems at play that can be quite difficult to overcome. But I think paring it down to simple strategies for eating less meat is really helpful. For me, I really love simple swaps. I know that when I was first starting,
me too.
You know, sometimes I probably, when you jump into plant-based eating, you might eat too much pasta, for example. I think that's a common experience. But, you know, I tell my parents, hey, you want pasta bolognese? Okay, why don't you try pasta with vegetables this time? Make it a pasta primavera. Or if you're going to have a burrito, you know, instead of putting chicken in it, just put guacamole in it. You know, we certainly, plant-based ingredients are incredibly diverse and they're wonderful and they can be used in these elevated, classy ways, but they also can just be very simple and that is still delicious and easy to use. And so a lot of the recipes and the strategies, I think, speak to that, you know, this doesn't have to mean you overhaul your entire life. You can just try incorporating more novel ingredients in your everyday experience. And that can be quite fun. You know, I think it's it can be interesting to just sort of switch it up once in a while.
Oh, it definitely can. You know, recently I got an email from a company that sells crickets. And I asked my 12-year-old daughter, hey, hon, do you want them to send us some samples? And she's like, Mommy, I don't think so. You know, but I love in the book, you have insects. They're what's for dinner. It's like that bump, bump, you know, that those old beef commercials. So this is Daniela Martin. And she writes, when I first began promoting insects as a sustainable protein source, I was often met with astonishment and confusion. But it is getting more common. I mean, I've seen different things. I didn't get to go to Expo West where they have all the great products, but I heard there was quite a few cricket folks there. Is that something you've tried? Because I've been a little ambivalent, not because of the crickets, but, well, that sounds mean. Not that I hate crickets. I don't like crickets. No, I like crickets. It just seems creepy. I don't know. Have you tried it?
Yeah. I think I have tried it. I think I had kind of potato chip of some kind that had crickets in it, which is pretty interesting. I included that essay because I think it speaks to the future of food and that, you know, what's sure. on the center of our plate may be changing. And it may be changing in ways we don't know yet. You know, I think insects is an interesting one. They're certainly abundant, and they don't have the same environmental footprint, and perhaps they can even be beneficial in terms of health. But we may also see other plant-based alternatives, you know, like as simple as the Impossible Burger, which has recently come out that's meant to imitate the taste of meat. And even the cultured meat, the idea that you can take the cell of an animal and have it be placed in a nutrient-rich environment and grow it into meat without the use of animals. And so these are, I think, can be odd and strange and unfamiliar to a lot of readers, but I thought it was an exciting way to expose them to the idea that, you know, our future of food is changing and there may be more options for us in the future that help us move away from eating animal products.
Oh, I think it's a great idea. And I'm going to now try it. So next time I get that email, or I'll see if it's still in my inbox somewhere. I changed my mind. I'll take some crickets, please. Now, since this is our Foodie Friday segment, I want to jump into the fact that you've got lots of great recipes. You've also got a reducitarian toolbox. You've got fruits and vegetables, beans, peas and lentils, nuts and seeds, whole grains, herbs and spices. I love that you actually have some great spice blends. You have a garam masala spice blend, a green herb pesto, red curry paste, you know, because I think spices are such a great way to make food fun and exciting and vibrant.
I agree. I mean, I think that's why, you know, cuisines like Thai food and Indian food, you know, they're just so delicious and they really lend themselves well to plant-based ingredients, which is nice too.
Yeah, it really is. Well, talk to us about these recipes. Did you come up with these? Did you work with a chef? Are they from different people? I love to hear the background.
Yeah, no, I worked with the fabulous Pat Crocker, who's an award-winning cookbook author. Mm. I think she's published around 20 books. And I just explained to her, hey, you know, I really want to create recipes that are easy for people to make, that don't require too many ingredients or too much time, and are healthy and delicious. And, you know, I wanted the recipes to be a mixture of vegan, vegetarian, and reduced meat recipes. I toyed around with the idea of having all of the recipes be vegan, and I think that would have been fine because that would be a great way for people to try out plant-based foods. But I think incorporating vegetarian and reduced meat recipes, meaning recipes that have a small amount of meat in them, is also an honest and great way to reduce societal meat consumption. You know, I spoke to a family who the mother was making a meal for all of her kids, and the kids were insisting that they wanted to have, you know, some beef in their meal. And so what she did was she just put 1 ounce of beef in the meal as kind of a little bit of a flavoring rather than having a 12-ounce steak or something like that. And that's a very honest and great way to, you know, incorporate less meat into your diet. And so, you know, I think that could be potentially perceived as controversial by some people, but to me, it's very consistent with the idea that we have to move away from animal products. And so I was ultimately very happy that Pat was willing to work with me on coming up with some of those recipes. And in fact, some of the recipes can be modified in such a way that the recipe could either be vegan or vegetarian or reduced meat, depending on who's at the table. And so, yeah, I think the recipes are another great example of how to actually implement this, how to incorporate more plant-based meals into your diet.
Exactly. You know, I'm looking at the chili vegetable or a turkey chili, and I think it's nice. And it's funny because with the meat, like, for example, there's this great pasta. I have no affiliation. I wish I did. It's called al dente, and it's made from white bean flour. Oh, my gosh, Brian, it's insane. It is so delicious, and it kind of reminds me of the type of pasta you'd have with, like, a stroganoff or a tuna casserole, very light, almost like an egg pasta. But it's not. Mm. It's white beans, brown rice flour, and maybe a thickened, like, guar gum or something. But it is fantastic. So I'd had a little grass-fed organic meat that I made the other day. And I just use a little bit in recipes, and I put some like taco seasoning in it, and then I cut up some tomatoes, and it, my daughter just ate it up, and she wasn't, it wasn't like a huge pile of meat. There was just little tiny bits in there just for that texture and that flavor that we like. But I can easily make that without any meat at all, but I was using leftovers. But, well, you know, there are great. Some, but in terms of the pasta, I mean, that's such a nice alternative for people who are gluten-free, or they just don't want to eat wheat, or they want something with fiber. So I think to do a little research and go online and type in bean pastas. I'm a huge fan of lentil pastas. I just had a garbanzo bean pasta. You're mentioning your dad, right?
I just had chicken pasta for the first time. Thought it was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. I actually like this white bean pasta even better. And they have a spinach pie where they put the spinach powder. And I think if you have that variety, you're not going to miss the meat. Another thing I love to do is I love to take butternut squash, cut it in half, put a little avocado oil. Because when you're cooking with oil, if you're going to cook at a high heat, you want to use avocado oil because that has the highest smoke point. Anyway, so you roast that for like half an hour or so. And then I scoop it out. I love spaghetti squash. And then again, because I still had that leftover meat, just a tiny little bit, but then I put cilantro and salsa and guac and chilies and hot sauce. And, I could have had it without it. I mean, last night my husband said to me, you know, I took that leftover squash that you had in the fridge. I had one slice of grass-fed cheese. I melted that. So again, there is some dairy there. He said, but I took the chilies and all the other Mexican spices. He said, it was fantastic. And I'm guessing even without the cheese, that would have been good. So just to be creative like that and think, you know, outside the box.
My question is, when am I coming over for dinner?
You know, it's so funny you say that, because I say that every time I have a chef on. I'm like, when am I coming over for dinner? Yeah, anytime. I'm telling you, get the spaghetti squash. And my daughter always teases me, because every time I'm talking about spaghetti squash, I call it a butternut squash. And then every time I talk about butternut squash, I call it a spaghetti squash. So that's like the running joke.
I love it.
But I do think it's really good. I think you're great. I wish I had more time. You'll have to come back again. The book is The Reducetarian Solution, edited by Brian Kateman. I did an anthology. I love books where you get lots of different ideas, similar perspective, but different angles. I think it's great. Tell us how we can learn more about this wonderful book, Brian.
You can visit www.reducetarian.org/book, and it'll be available on April 18th in all mainstream realtors.
Well, I want to just thank you so much for coming on. And by the way, I love your TED Talk. You have a great sense of humor. And again, I really admire what you're doing. So I'm no longer, I'm going to be a whole foodetarian / reducetarian. I'm just going to make everybody say really long things. And that's my friend Lisa. She's a whole foodetarian, reducetarian. I want to thank everybody for listening to Talk Healthy today. Please like and review and rate on iTunes. It makes a big difference so more people can hear the show. Everyone go out and get the Reducetarian Solution. Reduce your meat today. I like that. Reduce your meat today. Oh, wait, that's... Oh, gosh, that's a Carbs for Kids commercial. Okay, I don't want to get in trouble here. It just popped into my head. Everybody, thanks for listening and stay well.